Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Reality Right After. I am your host, Wellington Gomez, and I am here with your co-host. Hi, Ricky.
Hi, Wellington.
How are you?
Hi, castmates. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Period. I am the same, honey. I can complain. And of course, you see him on screen. We have Justin Colon.
Hey, guys.
RSOP commentator. The Twitter streets know you.
Yeah.
For all of your RSOP comments and tweets and... Yes.
It's a mess. My feed and my mentions are in shambles day to day because of the show. Can't wait for this to be the final closing chapter of.
Yeah, I remember when we discussed booking you on the show. I was like, I want to let the entire season play out so that we can have like the entire season in our, you know, be able to talk about it. Also, the reunion itself. I wanted to let the reunion play out. So, first things first, what makes RSOP your favorite franchise?
The Real Housewives of Potomac is my favorite franchise because it showcased a different city that wasn't really known. Potomac is not really known.
Right.
So, when the show dropped, everyone was like, where's Potomac? Where's Potomac? It's a rich, mostly black city with beautiful houses. Mm-hmm. People don't know much about it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was just a little bit intriguing for me. And the OGs were iconic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like Katie, Giselle.
Katie was a mess.
Giselle's iconic seasons 1 through 2. Karen Huger. Like we got some different. The only thing I didn't like in the beginning was when they were trying to do the
etiquette
type of thing.
Like, this is Housewives. This is not Charm School Pool.
Right.
No, so the tea on that was that it wasn't supposed to even be Housewives at the beginning. So it was supposed to be a whole nother show that, you know how they were part of the Jack and Jill
It was supposed to be like an expose on a black bourgeoisie.
So it wasn't supposed to be Housewives. And then it got sold to Bravo, you know, and then they were like, wait, this could actually be Housewives.
Oh, I heard that they filmed season one and they didn't know it was going to be Housewives. They filmed the show.
That's why the entire show is more about etiquette because it was supposed to be about the whole Jack and Jill experience.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then season two, it was already Housewives. So then
they applied the Housewives formula to it.
Gotcha. So, is Potomac one of your favorites?
I'll say this, right?
Two things can be true.
Two things can be true at the same time. If I'm comparing it to Housewives franchise, I don't know that they're like my top three shows.
Right,
they're definitely, you know, I want to preface it by saying when I think about iconic shows, I think about moments, I think about memes, I think about the producing of cultural icons.
Right.
This is a star.
I agree.
And so I don't think I ever looked at Potomac and was like, this is a star.
Immediately, right?
So that's my only issue is it doesn't have that kind of ripple in the current that we get from a lot, even the white girls.
Right.
But I do love Potomac. I think it was interesting to explore black wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Girls who have money now, girls who come from money, girls who didn't come on Housewives needing a check outside of Robin.
But no shade. Yeah. No shade.
Whew, I got something to say about that.
By the time the Potomac came around, was it really black wealth that we've never seen? Because the Atlanta girls have a coin.
No, not that we've never seen, but it's, for example, I'm from Montclair, right? Mm. And so there's a certain group of blackness that doesn't get shown, which is black bourgeoisie, which is black wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning like I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth.
Right.
I grew up with wealth. I went to private school and did debutante ball.
Right.
I went to HBCU and I pledged D9. It's like a whole world of blackness, even from like the 60s that people didn't explore. Now I have my critiques on those girls, but it was just interesting that was shown on TV.
Right.
Especially through the lens of people like Candace, who has that generational wealth, or who Giselle, whose dad, who was a civil rights activist, you know, different things like that. Outside of Portia, even though she didn't know
the Underground Railroad.
We didn't experience that from a collective of people, and I think that's something that, similar to Summer's House, Martha's Vineyard, that needs to be explored, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, that was kind
of
my question.
In terms of Real Housewives of Atlanta, like they were projecting, they ain't no diva.
No, Potomac became one of my favorites, and then it quickly became not one of my favorites. So I think that, you know, season 5 of Potomac was the one that put it on the map, I believe. Like, that was Potomac's, like, Phoenix coming out of the ashes. Yeah. Like, we are them girls. The ratings were out of control. Mm-hmm. The storylines were everywhere. Mm-hmm. And
Atlanta was on a decline.
And Atlanta was in a decline. So the GP was already looking for a new show to kind of like to shift to.
Right.
And here comes this other black city with girls that we can learn to love, and they're entertaining. And at this point, season 4, right going into season 5, they're entertaining as fuck. Like,
yeah,
they're actually like really, really entertaining. So I think that it was easy for them to grab a bunch of the like Atlanta audience and all of the other, because I feel like Potomac has, while Atlanta has a core audience that does not let them behind, because even though last season was the worst season ever, they still did great in the numbers. Mm-hmm. Potomac has a diverse audience that I feel like comes from different shows. Like it's a group, you know, which is also its biggest like Achilles heel, because the moment that they don't fuck with the show, it's like, the ratings go away. Like, people are no longer watching. After season 6, they still had it. Mm-hmm. 6 and 7 was the beginning of, like, disappointment.
Season 7 was dark.
Yeah.
Season 7 was really where the villain of Gisele Bryant took a turn. Because I love a good villain. I love me Teresa Giudice. I love me Kenya Moore. I love, you know, those are the villains who really own the show.
Right.
Gisele was that seasons 1 through 4. When she started just opening her mouth about the Chris situation, I was like, oh, this is going a little too far.
Yeah.
I have a question for you too on that, because I think, because in all seasons, there is a darkness to it, some things that happen. It's like, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. I think with the ladies, right? The darkness is too contrived, right? Kenya was actually trying to sleep with Apollo.
Yes.
Phaedra was actually lying about her due date.
Right, no, right. Like, yeah,
these things were actually happening.
Like, that's why it was...
Phaedra actually lied on Candy. Like, you know, like...
Those things were happening. Real-ass reality TV with bitches who act... Sorry, can I curse?
Yeah.
With people who actually fuck with each other. They know how to build a show. So they understand the goal of how to build a show, and whatever the case may be. Gisele Bryant has a producer hat on, so she's like, what am I going to do this season to cause havoc? Right.
But let me ask you about Gisele. I want to ask you a question about, and you too, Wellington, about anchoring and what it takes for somebody to anchor a show. Mm-hmm. And me and Wellington have a lot of off-camera conversations about reality TV in general, and what we realized is you have to be able to be a likable villain,
right?
And then you have to be able to sacrifice your personal feelings and bring these ladies together,
right? Right.
And so why do you feel like the network has anchored so much into Gisele, who has proven time and time again that she's not a good anchor for this show, that she's actually damaging the show and making the relationship somewhat irreparable?
I think it's pretty privilege. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I think they think she's the face of Potomac. I think they think the audience thinks she's the face of Potomac.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
She's been there from the beginning. She stirs the pot. She just, I feel like she knows when to throw a jab in the show when it's needed. So she feels like there's too much downtime. Everyone's getting along.
Yeah.
Boom. And I think that they like that.
Yeah.
And I think that they think we like that. But it's completely obvious that it's not natural, just like you said about the Kenya and Apollo thing. It's like, that's real beef. That's real things to really beef about. I have no idea. That's a question that I've been trying to ask my Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, why do you guys feel... Because there's like a whole bunch of Gisele and Robin fans in my mentions ripping me to shreds every day.
Well, what do you have to say to them? Because like, have your moment and talk back to them, because why are they terrorizing you this much, honey?
Listen, they're terrorizing me this much because I speak my mind, and there is colorism on that show. I don't care.
I'm so happy you brought up colorism because I want to talk about it.
Let's go into it. But wait, before we get into the colorism, to
answer your question, I think that people need to understand that behind every show that you love, there's a production company. Mm-hmm. And that production company is here to do a job, produce this show.
Right.
There's goals every season. There's going to be goals for the show. Mm-hmm. Me as a producer and you yourself as a producer, when we're putting on projects for the Reality Rundown, we know that we like to work with people that make the goals easier mm-hmm. to achieve. You know? Mm-hmm. So as a head of a production company, if I am casting a show or I'm shooting a show with an ensemble cast, there's going to be people that are going to be difficult, and there's going to be people that are going to be easy, and there's going to be people that I'm going to be able to tell them, like, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. And they're going to know how to do it in a way that doesn't come off like Anila being extra. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Giselle has an art to her. You can hate her, but Giselle has an art to her in the sense of she's messy and it doesn't come off genuine. But one thing about Giselle is that when she is willing to throw a bone, she does not back down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's not. I'm with
production
you.
Likes with that.
You. Production likes
which
it.
Is why I think that. But as they keep her around.
But as a producer, you have to do what's best for longevity.
Right? I agree.
Right.
I would much have rather saw Giselle and Candace sit down and duke it out than what I watched this season.
Same.
I would have much. So if you create a culture where I feel like me and Wellington, we work with a lot of people, I would never make anybody we produce feel like they didn't have to come to work.
Right. Right.
I don't care how you feel. We doing right. the sit down.
Right. No.
Right.
Or you could sit out.
Or you could sit out. Yeah.
If Giselle was the true anchor of Real Housewives of Potomac, she would have had that sit down with Candace. Her refusing to film or speak with Wendy and Candace is a disservice to the franchise, disservice to the network.
And to the fans.
And to the fans.
And it started with them cutting out her meltdown when Monique got her together at that interview. And then I know we spoke a little bit about pretty privilege because she's a beautiful woman from a societal perspective. I personally think she's beautiful.
Yeah.
But just her when we talk about, let me preface this because y'all, there's no such thing as reverse colorism.
Right.
There is no such thing as reverse colorism. NECA, who tweeted this and then deleted it the other day. Did you see that?
I did not. I'm just like,
NECA tweeted this yesterday.
Luckily, because I would have to get her all the way together. Okay? There's no such thing as reverse colorism. What you're experiencing is bullying, and there are two significant things. Similar to when people say Black Lives Matter and the retort is All Lives Matter.
Right.
They say reverse racism. You being lighter skinned doesn't systemically impact your
exactly. Life.
Your job and
the fact that you are the daughter of a civil rights leader,
you know, and the joke about being in Divine, you know, being an AKA, being HBCU, and like up until like I'm in the 80s, you couldn't be an AKA if you were darker than a paper bag.
And then you credit that as the reason why you have the mind and the capacity. To talk about colorism.
I think it's willful ignorance. I think that for people, and I'm not saying that lighter skinned people who are racially ambiguous don't experience racism, don't experience prejudice. It's not at the same degree as darker skinned Black people. And colorism is talking about intercommunal politics. So things that specifically happen within the Black community.
Right.
Dating back to slavery, where darker skinned people were forced to work on a field. And the lighter you were, you get to have
work in the house
and have different types of things.
Exactly.
So even mm-hmm. the Black bourgeoisie, you know, there was a whole community of Black people who passed. And
right.
we could get real deep, but we won't. All that to say is it started with Monique, and I'm going to be really light on this because we touched on this before. Giselle hated Monique because she felt like what Monique had access to, she shouldn't have.
Right.
And whether it's unconscious or conscious, that's why she hated Monique.
Right.
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 Absolutely, 100%.
And she used Candace to, similar to why she hates Wendy. How dare Wendy have the things that I've been promising in society.
Exactly.
Same thing goes on. So that that's what made for this shitty ass season that we have. And I really want to get into the reunion.
Okay. And right before we get into the discussion about the reunion, I want to make sure that everybody is subscribing to our channel at The Reality Rundown on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe because that's where we post all of our new episodes. Also, subscribe to our podcast, Reality Right After, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And follow us on Instagram, Reality Right After and The Reality Rundown. And of course, you're going to find all of the information for everybody to follow below. But let's get into the reunion.
Let's get into it, honey.
So let's first start with, you know, at part three, which is usually when we get the tea, when we get to the right. to the meat of why we're here. Yep.
I think it should have been a two-part reunion, but that's just my
opinion. No shade.
I agree.
Part three, we find out that Gordon actually is in the spectrum of bipolar. It's not bipolar disorder, but it's bipolar
one. Uh-huh.
And, you know, he shared that he's been dealing with that disorder for a long time, and that was the reason why you saw him so angry and, you know, I don't want to say aggressive, but just puzzled in that scene that we saw at the finale. And also when Mia explains the reasons why she left Gordon, in the sense of like, oh, he would like me in the house, take away my funds, all of that. Gordon later explained that, you know, those were all part of his manic episodes. What was your thought, Justin, when you heard Gordon, you know, talk about this? And also, I want to say, shout out to Gordon for speaking on that, because it's important to see Black men speak about mental health issues.
I agree.
On national television.
100%.
And I think that even for the other men there, they saw how open he was about it and willing to answer any question. And I think that it even kind of like opened something to the other men, like, yo, like, he's really speaking some real shit. And probably like we all should kind of like check in our heads and if our mental is okay, because are the women doing okay? Sure. But like also the husbands, right. They're also part of this.
Mm-hmm.
But back to my question, how do you feel? What was your reaction when you heard Gordon talk about his diagnosis?
My reaction was I wasn't surprised. I think that Gordon did that publicly on the platform in front of the other housewives and the other husbands to basically tell their story. Like, I think that he loves Mia a lot. That's his wife. He loves her. And I think that he was doing a service to explain their story. I think it was super iconic that they went into their household. I think that happened after they wrapped filming.
Yeah. The cameras came back up.
The cameras came back up. And I think that we got to see a different side of Mia. And I think that Gordon wanted the audience to see that for Mia, which is a holy matrimony, a husband. Good for you, Gordon. Right. And not only did he do it for Mia, he did it for himself and giving himself a voice to express the thoughts on his mental health and giving like just showing the audience that it's okay to talk about it.
Right.
It's okay to talk about it. It's okay that things like this happen in our marriage.
Right.
It's okay that to show that my wife has my back no matter what. Because we saw a different side of Mia. Like when Mia was on her first season, she just looked like a typical sugar baby to me.
Right.
But she's holding him down.
She is.
She's holding him down. And I think that this was her Phoenix era.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that we got the full story from not only her, but from her husband.
Right.
Like that's Real Housewives material, honey. I think that was amazing for both of them.
I agree. What about you? What do you thought about it? Not the smirk, honey.
Mental health is serious, and we take mental health seriously at the Reality Rundown and Rundown Media. But what I will say is this: you know, I appreciate. sorry, I appreciate Gordon being. I just can't help but just think Mia is
lying. Mia be
the
lying.
The truth ain't in Mia. I'm so sorry.
Mia be lying. Mia be lying.
But what I do appreciate about Gordon sharing this, and Gordon in general, what I feel like Juan should have done for Robin one, he recognized.
Talk about it.
Let's clock it.
This is where the money's coming from.
And I'm broken. I don't have a job.
This is the mother of my kids. She's already been taking care of me and is willing to continue. So right. you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to step into my role. I'm going to come on TV and I'm going to help her be who she needs to be.
Period.
So that she can stay on this show.
So that she can stay on this platform so that my kids are okay. My kids have financial stability.
Mm-hmm. Period. A husband.
Even though we're not working out romantically and she has her situation and I have whatever erectile situation I got going on, I still love her.
You didn't have to be shady. I gotta laugh while you didn't have to be shady.
No, because, all right, yeah. Meaning, you know, sex has not been a factor.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And so not only am I going to get on the camera about myself, I'm going to get on the camera with her and I'm going to get on the camera with Inked.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And oof. While she get those deals, Inked. That's what Juan should have did.
Yeah.
Y'all got kids. You don't have a job right now.
Exactly.
So you put on your suit, dust off that wedding suit, sit on the stage, mm-hmm.
And show up to the reunion.
And clock in to secure our future. And that's what I do like about Mia and Gordon is because they're not afraid to be, I don't even want to say honest. They're not afraid to give us things.
Yeah.
And I like that they're working.
Transparent. Transparency. Mia likes to call it.
And I like that they're working as a team. It was very reminiscent of that. Toot, toot, boo, boo. All the horn on their ass. Right. So I liked it.
I think that based on what you said, Gordon saw... First of all, Gordon had a really manic episode when he talked to TMC, when he called all the husbands, when he tried to Mia down. Like, Gordon was out here for Mia's neck. You know?
If you want fair, go to a carnival.
Go to a carnival.
That was a nasty read.
That was a good read, honey.
The best read on the whole show.
It was.
You know? So, I think that he saw that. He saw how he embarrassed her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he did what a house husband has to do. Period. When you embarrass your housewife.
Period.
You show up and then you apologize. And you apologize to her in front of everybody.
Chris Bassett will clock in.
Chris Bassett.
I'm about to call him Uncle Benja. Cameron Huger's husband will clock in.
Ray
will clock in when it's necessary.
Exactly. Like whenever Karen.
Eddie
will clock in.
I love me some Osafos, baby.
Whenever Karen is, you know, the storyline is a little weak, she goes and films a scene with Ray and gets Ray together about something.
Yeah.
Right.
And then that's her thing. That's Ray's contribution to Karen. Right. He gets to sit on camera and he will get packed up by Karen.
And he just be like,
all right, my dear.
Whatever you say, girl.
Whatever you say, girl.
Ray don't be paying Karen.
Eddie, the same thing.
Some Eddie.
Chris, I feel like Chris has always supported Candace on the show.
Always.
And he'll give a little read, too.
Ooh, he ate this reunion up, but we'll get to that.
Next question.
I feel like Gordon did what he was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Gordon. Shout out to Mia. I think that Mia got herself the ticket of a lifetime because from what we saw at this reunion is that she had Gordon with her in person, and then she called Ink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then she said, Gordon, look, Ink is on the phone. And they both are super cordial. They say hi to
each
other.
She took a page out of Portia's book.
Woo!
But did it better than Portia.
A mother.
Did it better than Portia.
A mother.
Ta-da.
She's mothering.
And
okay.
If Mia somehow figures out how to get Gordon and Ink
to film
on camera next season?
It's happening.
Hallelujah.
It's happening. She's going to be center flutes.
If she does that, Mia's the new queen.
If you so happen to grace and watch and come across this, please don't make the fatal mistake of being Giselle's flunky.
No.
Step out. Neutralize.
This is your time. You're actually the queen if you don't know.
Yes.
You're actually the queen if you don't know.
I agree.
So
keep the lies, girl. I love it.
You know?
It's entertaining. You want to know why? Because she means no harm.
That girl be harming.
I think this season Mia was definitely on the reactive and not necessarily like making things. I think season 7 was Mia's worst season for her because she was doing things for camera.
Like when she said Chris was flirting with her? Like, come on.
You know, and I think she was doing things just for to appease to the Green Eye yeah. Bandits. This season, I think that Mia was way more grounded in just fairness, because even at the reunion, you saw how she clacked certain things.
Yeah.
And how she would clack the
she
other side.
She didn't do enough.
Too. She didn't do it. I think none of them do enough. That's my problem with this cast.
They're all scared of just, what I'm saying, it'd be Mia's best bet to step out. I would hate for them to get rid of Robin and then Ashley and Mia just play the new Robins and right. following Giselle blindly. I need Mia mm-hmm. to be the person that's like, girl, not too much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I need her to be that, and she'll really win over the fans if she does it right. that way. If she clocks Giselle, she will.
Somebody needs to clock that ass.
Kenya was the only one that, and Kim, that would go toe-to-toe with Nene. Mm-hmm. Right. You need somebody that'll be like, you know what, bitch?
Right. right. Period.
Let's
right.
do it.
Well, another thing that we saw in the reunion was, in this third part, was the culmination of the situation between Wendy and NECA. Mm-hmm. Production, Andy made sure to specify that production actually wanted NECA to come in to the show
as Wendy's
through Wendy as her friend.
Mm-hmm.
NECA had told production that she had met Wendy a couple times before. And production took that as NECA knows Wendy.
Right.
And then production approached Wendy and said, hey, we have this girl that she says she knows you, and we want to bring her on the show, and we want you to bring her in. And then Wendy's like, I don't really know her.
And she wanted to bring her friend.
And she wanted to bring her real friend in to the show, which she ended up doing.
And who would have been a better option than...
Yeah. Than NECA.
Yeah.
So... Do you think it was wrong for productions to still bring in NECA into the mix if there was... Because that's the point. You know, that's where I feel like NECA went wrong. They were trying to find the space for her on the show.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. And then they forced it.
They still did it anyway.
You know what I think? I think production already has a bias against Candace and Wendy. When Wendy didn't bring NECA in, they said Ashley gonna bring her in.
Mm-hmm.
And if Ashley brings you in, this is what we need you to do.
Right. I agree.
And she did it. And I think, unfortunately, fortunately for us, it didn't go in her favor.
Yeah.
Because I don't know you like that.
Right.
My thing is, if I know of you does not mean I know you.
Yeah.
Right.
So people are like, Wendy's lying. No, like, if I say what's up to you, if I see you in the club
right.
once or twice, three times, we may follow each other on Instagram. Do I know you?
I don't know you. That's right. Like, somebody says, yeah, you know I'm friends with your cousin. Okay, girl. I saw you at the cookout, hey?
Yeah, like, yeah. Hi.
But you're not my girl.
You're not my homie.
And when you bring these... Wendy and Candace need allies. So I'm not going to bring somebody on the cast that I don't know
right.
who you are, and I don't want to be responsible. Right. Just like she got on the platform talking about reverse colorism. I would hate...
Oh, my God.
Like, what do you... She was just such a flop. And then for her to be African, for her to come from the same tribe as Wendy...
Right. Mm-hmm.
And pulled that xenophobic, anti-black witch, like, that yeah. was just that
right.
was
horrible to watch.
And then I felt a certain type of way about that, because then at the reunion, they were being so big about the fact that it's so taboo and they don't really want
to
speak about it. But then why did you throw gasoline to the fire by calling Wendy's mother a witch?
Yeah.
Because if... Being Osu is so taboo and something that you don't speak about because it has to do with witchcraft and, you know, devilisha and a lot of shit that a lot of people don't know, but just evil, dark energy. Why would you then talk about Wendy's mother in that way?
Right.
Right.
To me, horrible. That's weird. So then to then say that...
Have a moment. She's looking for a moment. She's looking to get her staple in on the show, which ended up doing the opposite.
And she only proved Wendy to be right, because if you really know me and we were friends, you wouldn't even, is that how you really felt? You really felt like my mother was a witch?
Right.
You really felt this?
Exactly.
You really felt that? But
exactly.
You want me to bring you on this show?
But I will say though, I understand why Wendy said that it got to a point where, like, there's nothing for me to say because you already said what you said about my mother. You already mm-hmm. said what you said about me.
That's a
so,
fact.
Like, you know, we can be cordial and move forward. I do think that during the show, and I think we spoke about this in our last episode, there was a point where NECA was willing to bring the guard down. And she was she was willing to, like,
when they had that
girl
down, right?
Girl, like, you know. And then Wendy, at that point, Wendy's like, I'm done with you. I do think that Wendy should have been a little bit more.
I don't.
You don't? Why?
I want you out.
I don't. I agree with you.
You're new. I don't have any stake in the game. I think when it comes to this stuff, Eddie's family doesn't, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't deal with them and
right.
Because of that.
Right.
That's some real hurtful things that Wendy has dealt with in terms of that. How dare you, bitch?
How dare you, bitch? Exactly, 100%.
But my whole thing is like, Wendy, you should have had a little bit more energy for Ashley. Because Ashley...
Ooh, everybody needs more energy
for
Ashley.
I agree, but...
Everybody needs more energy for
Ashley. I agree, but she's African. That's the only reason you know better.
Right,
Ashley,
right.
Clearly from the reunion, when Wendy was like, ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
Clocked.
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 Yo.
Clocked.
When they said... Someone explained Ozu, and Wendy said... You do it, Ashley. She was gagged. She was gaggy.
She was gagged.
And that's just like, I think.
Ashley was so gagged that her white side tapped in and she gave us that HR acts. Well, I never misrepresented saying that I knew what
it was.
Also
the pause.
Meant.
Yeah. You know, I love like, how every, she nobody, paused, everybody was,
everybody
just like,
was just like.
She paused and I saw that brain
Beyonce.
Working. And don't get me wrong, the answer that she gave was a really good answer.
It
like
was.
One thing about Ashley is that she's going to think, and she's very smart.
Hated that wig.
Hated that
so
wig.
Over Ashley.
Wig. Hated that wig.
It last
was,
chair.
It was I was gonna say something, but I'm not gonna call it that because that person, you know, mm-hmm. I was gonna call it a Shangela wig.
Shangela might be up under the jail.
Child. No, but. Do you think there's space for NECA on the show?
No.
Next caller. I would like to see Karina. Next caller,
no,
NECA.
No, I'm sorry. She came in with the wrong ammo. Sorry. She came in with the wrong ammo. She should have been on... If she was claiming to be friends with Wendy, she should have came on the show
friendly.
Trying to be friendly with Wendy.
Right.
Had another person on the Candace and Wendy squad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That could have been it for her.
Right.
She chose the wrong side.
I will say though, I did like the fact that she was kind of like pressuring Robin and Giselle a little bit at the reunion, because one thing I do say is that NECA has... She has good judgment. And I feel like she saw that Wendy and Candace at the reunion were making an argument. And she kind of was pushing Robin and Giselle to kind of be like, yo, like, if they're willing to move forward, y'all gotta be willing to move forward too. Like, someone has to do,
can
you
I say
know?
Something about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Production called the whole cast before the reunion and said, listen, there will be no show if you guys cannot move forward. Mm-hmm. So you guys need to make it your business to try to not annihilate each other this reunion, but to make amends and move forward. Or
Giselle
else
Giselle still didn't do it.
This show. So to my point is Giselle and Robin were insubordinate to producers and the production of the show. When Candace.
Bye, Robin.
When you saw Candace put on in her interview that she did on E, and she said, you know, I came with a different approach on the reunion.
Right.
She did. A lot of the girls were like, remember in the beginning, they were like, okay, I'm ready. I'm here to move on. The only two that did not say anything was Giselle and Robin.
Right.
Which is insubordination to what the producers called them to get done for the sake of the show.
Right.
So my question is, if the whole cast is being subordinate and saying, okay, let's do this. Let's just move on.
Right.
Why is Giselle Bryan still here?
Right.
What are you holding on to? Like, what are the producers holding on to?
I think that's what people, you know, what people say that Giselle lacked. Giselle lacks taking accountability.
Yeah.
And I think that her doing what production called everybody to do would mean her taking some accountability.
Right.
Because in order to move forward, she needs to make Candace feel like her feelings are valid,
right.
You know? And I think that one thing about Giselle is that she's never going to give anybody that.
That's unfortunate.
Andy Cohen said that the point of the show is to make peace and move forward. He made that very clear in the beginning. So if your anchor is not doing that, it's time to move on.
But let me ask you this. Giselle right now, as we know her on the show, we think that, you know, production, you know, allegedly has this favoritism over her. Why do you think that Giselle is going to do anything that people want her to do when she knows that she can get away with whatever she want to do?
I think that they gave her like a little tap on the shoulder when they made her second seat this season.
Mm.
Like, girl.
She still didn't listen.
She still didn't listen.
If Giselle doesn't get it together this season, I want her out. But I would have loved for Monique to come back this season. I would have loved.
Honestly, the way Monique left the show, then went into Love and Marriage, got into some mess over there.
Ooh, girl, she was horrible on that show.
Horrible. And then, you know, left that show as well, with mess on that show and that network too. And now, you know, she's divorced from Chris. She's on the radio. I don't know if the Monique that she is now would be good for her. You know, like, I don't think that this Monique should be on the show. I think that the Monique that we saw leave season 5, mm-hmm. if with Chris and in that situation, if she would have still been with Chris, I would have said, yeah, bring her back on the show.
Why y'all want her back? Because she got starter locks?
No. Girl, what? Like,
what? Shit.
You get on my nerve.
Shout out to the Libra queen.
Come on, Libra. She is a Libra.
She is.
Monique is a Libra.
Oh, messy one. No, leave Monique and her starter locks alone, okay?
I want to talk about the bra. We need to talk about the bra.
Okay. So let's talk about the bra.
Last season, Ashley brought her friend
Deborah. AKA
Muppet,
Sesame Street,
oh my God, I can't
cartoon.
You gotta insert that clip of Tamar saying, crying, I look like a Muppet. It's so funny.
That's my girl, Tamar. Don't do that.
I love Tamar, but that clip is so funny. But she was saying that Eddie was flirting with her, Chris was flirting.
Lying.
It came out that it wasn't true.
Can I say something about that?
Go ahead.
My thing, okay, this is my thing with the producers of The Real Housewives of Potomac, and no shade, because whatever, I'm not trying to come for anybody's job. Mm-hmm. But my thing is this, there has to be a line between entertainment and protecting your cast members and your team and your talent, right? This woman came on the show and accused Chris of X, Y, and Z. Chris Bassett is a big part of The Real Housewives of Potomac. He's been on the show with his wife for years, sitting behind her at the reunion, delivering.
Mm-hmm.
At what point do we say, let's have this mess go on for entertainment, or let's protect our talent? Because right. at the end of the day, Giselle did go on camera and say, he touched her, he groped her. You know what I mean? It's like, right. why would Candace and Chris want to show up to work with someone who's accusing them of flirting, sexual assault,
and it's not true.
And it's not true. So.
I also hated the fact that they gave Deborah such a voice, because if we're filming a show and I know that you're part of the cast, and I also know who the friends of the cast are, who is this random ass bitch?
And she wasn't
from,
even a friend
from downtown DC.
And the fact that,
and why do I have to worry about what she gotta say while she's at a party? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when does production say
that,
like,
nobody clock, like,
that's what I mean about the protection of the talent.
None of the cast members clocked her. Like, do you guys remember that episode where the lady came on Real Housewives of Atlanta and said Todd was an opportunist?
Yeah.
And even though they wasn't getting along, they all was like,
Because, you know, this is our show. Get
right,
out.
Right.
Like, period. Point.
And also, you kind of like create that thing where it's like other people from that area are going to think that if I'm ever at a party with, while they're filming this show,
I can go up and fight.
I can go up and say something messy to one of the girls so it could be caught
on
camera.
So I can have a moment.
And it's like,
and that's why it feels contrived. That's why Candace feels like you guys are deliberately doing these things, because in what world can your friend come up, say that my husband was flirting, Wendy's husband's flirting, sexual assault this, grope that.
And you know that it's not.
All support it.
And you know that it's not true, Ashley. That was one of my biggest things.
True.
Like, you know it's not true. And
that's the gaslighting thing that they did, because let me tell you something. Candace is better than me. If my homegirl or coworker brings a bitch around me that told me that my husband did that to them, I'm fucking everybody up.
Literally.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, they want to paint Candace to be this villain, but they're putting her in the fire where she has no choice but to be like,
to fight her way out. Right.
What the fuck is happening? Because if that happened in New York City, honey, not the real housewives in New York, just New York City in general. You bring a bitch, talk about my husband flirted with you, did this, did that. There's no talking. Get the fuck away from
me. And on the reunion, when they were talking about the bra, Giselle immediately blamed Wendy.
And Candace.
And Candace. And Giselle wasn't even there. She wasn't even there.
You know, Candace should have done her iconic line. Were you there, beloved? No, you weren't. Thank
but
you.
My whole thing is like, how do you find the reasoning to, one, blame Wendy, someone that had nothing to do with the situation?
You want to know why? It's just like you said before, no one on the cast is clocking Giselle for the things that, those.
And then
anti-blackness.
You're also going to blame Candace. We already know that. We already know why you're blaming Candace. You don't fuck with her. But you had this ghetto-ass Muppet there, and you're not going to say that that's the reason why... The only person responsible for that thing was that ghetto-ass Muppet and Ashley. Period.
No, they rallied because they had this blind loyalty to each other, so the goal is always to protect Ashley. And so I think that's why they tried to shift blame to Candace. But the interesting thing is...
And then Giselle going to be like, well, I'll take Wendy out. I'll take Wendy. Girl, you just can't be giving out blames like that.
She just says whatever comes to mind just because she knows that her words hold weight with production. So she just says whatever the fuck she wants, and she's allowed to get away with it. And this is what I'm talking about. When is there a line between protecting your cast and your talent and making them feel that they're at danger at work? Where's that line? Where does that line cross? Where it's like, this is a good show, or I need to protect my talent because they're in danger at their place of work.
Right. And I think Candace made it clear that she had no conversation for her last season, right?
No, ma'am.
So
she said, no, ma'am.
No, ma'am. So it's like, there's nothing for you to approach her, you know, really, and say, this is a show, you know, they're taping, you tried to get another moment. And then you double down on social media, gloating, right? And
this was so terrible
when Monique did it. Giselle needed a security guard, all kind of stuff. Monique was everything but a child of God. Now, when this girl do it, now all of a sudden it's because of Candace's mouth.
Mia pissed me off at that reunion when she said, well, did you say something to her for her to make you throw a drink? My thing is this. I feel like...
That's because Mia threw a drink on Wendy.
They have amnesia. I feel like they have amnesia. Do they...
Mia's calculated.
Yeah, like, do they not remember... You did clock that.
That was
period.
A good clock.
Do you not remember that this woman just accused Chris of X, Y, and Z?
Right.
So if she comes up to me, I could say whatever I want. You cannot dictate how I react to someone disrespecting me.
I also want to say, Deborah, you are the embarrassment of your town, of your state, of your country. I want you to know that. Because you really came on a show that doesn't want you whatsoever. The fans don't want you. No one on the show wants you on the show. Not even your friend wants you on the show. You made an embarrassment to your family. You threw a drink. You got violent. You're an embarrassment to your people.
Who are people?
I don't know, honey. The Muppet community. But I just want you to know that I want you to grow from this. And I want you to step away.
I have never yelled at a girl like this.
First of all.
I believe in you. I wanted more for you. You are a mother. A wife. Honestly, if I was your husband, I would divorce you because that's embarrassing.
Because first of all, if you married, why are you all up in other people's marriages business? Talk about Chris flirting me.
Girl.
And let me just say something. I think Ashley's a dumbass too, because it's clear that Deborah's your friend to get on the show. That's right. The only reason why she wants to be your home.
All of Ashley's friends are her friends to get on. Like, have you noticed this pattern already of Ashley's little mini mean squad that she be having around all the time? It's like, it's different girls that actually taps into mess every season who can be, because the other girls were throwing hands too.
Yeah.
getting supervised. They're ghetto balls.
Yeah.
Gutter balls.
Not in Potomac etiquette. Hello.
No, them girls are not from Potomac.
Get out. Get out.
It's unfortunate that they didn't at least tell the truth about that fight and that brawl.
If that was not recorded by a bystander, the whole narrative would have been, here goes Candace again.
Why do you think that production didn't show the footage?
It's a liability.
Yeah, it's a liability.
I mean, we saw 7 minutes of Monique beating Candace's ass.
No, because before she approached her, she asked, where the cameras down? So maybe they don't have it.
Oh, yeah, the cameras.
No, but I'm saying, like, the TMC footage.
Oh, they could have threw that in.
They could have threw the TMC footage in.
They throw some cell phone footage in here and there.
They could have thrown. I found it interesting that production didn't show the footage. The footage was very violent. When I first saw the footage came out, even before the season came out, I actually cannot believe that, like, that's where we went back to.
Karina's a real one.
All for a thirsty ass bitch.
Kiarna?
Kiarna.
It's Kiarna?
Kiarna, hun.
I've been calling her Karina this whole time.
Where do you get Karina from?
Kiarna.
Kiarna.
She's a real one.
I'm dyslexic. So
shout out, girl. Like, you are such a Libra because I claim the same thing. Shout out to Kiarna.
Kiarna, no, for real.
Sorry, Kiarna. You're going to go down to the Baltimore and get some Crayley.
Yeah, and I'm going to go down to your little mess spot and get a little feature or something because, girl, I hope that Kiarna comes back next season.
I do.
I want to see more of her. I think that the fans loved Kiarna. I thought that what we saw from Kiarna was that she's a real ass bitch. She's a down ass bitch. And she, the people that she considered her friends, she's actually there to defend her. And it's funny because Candace said that, you know, at the reunion. She said, the reason why I picked up that bottle is because none of y'all are going to defend me if a bitch tries to hit
me. Right. Like, it's just like what you said before. It's like, you know when you could only pick on your siblings?
Right.
But if somebody in the street, you're like, not too much.
The Potomac, I feel like a lot of casts have that except Potomac. It's like, only me and you could argue, but if somebody else comes over here trying to talk shit about you, bitch, get the fuck out. This is our show. This is our shit. This is how we make our money.
Right.
You know what I mean? Potomac is every bitch for themselves, and that's where they're fucking up, and that's what's ruining the show.
And that brings me to, like, you know, this point I want to make as we're wrapping up, or maybe a question. Now that Robin is fired, she was crying on her podcast. Y'all go check that out.
Yeah. Don't check it out.
No, go check it out.
She was crying on her podcast. Y'all go check it out.
I'm not tuning into Reasonably Shady. Are you crazy?
I mean, Robin still got to feed them churns. So
go
subscribe to the Patreon, honey.
Robin was there. Was on.
Our kids are so cute.
Candace is having a baby.
Shout out to Candace.
My favorite. Can I say one thing about Candace before?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dillard Bassett.
I am a Dillard Bassett, honey.
Bassett.
One thing that I was talking about on Twitter that had the Twitter girls rambling was, Candace has nothing to work with the Potomac girls. They always talk about her mouth, her mouth, her mouth. But she's held to a different standard because she's the youngest on that cast, I feel like, because no one is
equipped,
number one. She has nothing to work with. But when Nene, Kenya, Phaedra, all of them are reading and dragging each other to hell and back for seasons, everyone's like, this is entertaining. But when Candace does it on her show, it's like, oh my God, she's the worst because no one can keep up with her.
It's because she's the only.
Yeah, she's the only.
You know, if
the
she was
only
on the show with a Nene,
verbal sparrer.
A Nene or another verbal assassin, I think.
Right.
She would be much better off.
And it's sad that, you know, it's matched with, like, violence, you know?
Right.
Like, what is you guys' predictions for next season? Like, or your advice?
I think advice would be better. So if I had some hand in production, I would say that we need new life on this show. I think that I definitely agree why Candace left the show because she, you know, protecting her pregnancy. But I think it's sad as a fan that Candace does not get to show her pregnancy on the show that she has given so much to.
Right.
The fact that Candace felt like it would have been better for her pregnancy, for her to walk away from the show and not, and basically like give up her main source of income.
Right.
You know, I think that's sad because when you give a show so much, I think we've seen that with Roa. The girls have given this show so much and then they still have their triumphant moment. I think that's something that Roa production does well. They give the girls that go through the gutter, they give them that moment of triumph. This is your full circle moment. We've seen Portia had 3,000 full circle moments where it's like,
oh my God,
she's coming back on top. We've seen it with Kenya. We've seen it with all of
even
them.
Even when Portia wanted to stop filming mid-season when she was having postpartum, that was like,
you know, and then we see Kenya and Portia come back with the kid. Like, we've seen it. So I feel sad for Candace that she doesn't get to do that. However, I understand that she's protecting her pregnancy. I think that Karen and Giselle need to seriously have a conversation, specifically more Karen to Giselle.
Yeah.
And say, listen, we built this for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's going down the drain.
Yep.
The proof is there. This past season, the audience hated it.
Collectively.
And our boss also hated it because Andy even said it at the beginning of the reunion that it was difficult for even him to watch the season.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know? So you're already getting like direct rapport from your boss about how he liked the season, right? I think that Karen needs to have that conversation with Giselle. I think that whoever comes back, I mean, we only know that Candace and Robin are not coming back so far. Whoever comes back, and you know, the Jasmine brand is reporting that NECA's not coming back.
Yeah.
So whoever comes back to the show, please the show first.
Giselle, Bryant. Giselle lacks Bryant.
And
Neck.
Whoever, and for casting, for the casting directors, whoever is doing the casting for the new season, whoever you bring on this show, please let it be someone that we can grow to love.
Right.
Like, I like the fact that Mia was able to secure herself, you know, multiple seasons on the show. We can now grow to love Mia as a character of Potomac, you know? Yes. I feel like one of the things that they do is like, you bring on a girl that it doesn't really know where, then we don't know her next season, you know? So, like, whoever the newbies that are going to... Because there's going to be newbies. If Robin is leaving, if Candace is leaving, there's going to be newbies that are going to be added to the show. So whoever the newbies are, let it be some people with substantial stories that we can actually see for multiple seasons to come. And let this new era of Potomac be... Potomac is due for a reboot. For a Roa season 8 reboot. You know what I'm
Absolutely,
saying? Like, it's
100%.
Due for that. So, let's see. That's my recommendation.
Let's see. My recommendation would definitely be for production to talk to... First of all, Ashley got to go. It's her time to go. It's either put her on pause because she gives nothing. What I don't like about... I'm glad Candace is leaving because this cast is a bunch of scorned, brokenhearted, getting cheated on women who attack the happy, happily married, the Candace, the Wendy. So we got the Giselle Bryant, who's cold-hearted because of her getting publicly embarrassed and cheated on in the congregation.
Hallelujah.
Then we have Ashley Darby, who was publicly humiliated on camera her whole run on the show.
Wake it up.
Then you have Robin Dixon, who exact same thing. So they look at the happily married and they're like, how can we make Chris and Eddie a victim? How can Candace and Wendy
feel how we feel?
And that is some evil shit.
And on the side, let's still perpetuate rumors about Karen too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they do it jokingly. They don't do it as aggressively as they do it with the other girls.
Yeah.
But they still throw jabs at Karen and Ray's relationship here and there. Yeah. So I find that interesting. What is your recommendation? Your advice?
My advice and recommendation for the next season of Real House of Wives of Potomac is that all of the ladies follow us at The Reality Rundown.
Period.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Period.
Okay. We will be live commentating and giving our thoughts, notes, advices, free PR, free promo.
Yes.
Won't you come on down and get an interview?
And get an interview, honey.
And so,
Candace, I'm coming to your baby shower. DM me the addy.
Take footage. Oh, maybe we'll get an exclusive. Maybe they'll give her a special. We don't know. But we do want to see the baby.
We want to see the baby, honey.
Go ahead and take us out, Rose.
Thank you so much, Justin, for joining me at the round table today.
Yes, I had such a good time with you guys.
No, we had an amazing time. And you're definitely going to come back whenever Potomac comes back on the air.
Yes!
Guys, thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you are subscribed to our podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And make sure you are subscribed to our YouTube channel at the Reality Rundown YouTube channel, because that's where you'll find everything Reality TV. And on Instagram at Reality Right After and the Reality Rundown for everything Reality TV. It's been my pleasure. I am your host, Wellington Gomez, my co-host, Ricky, and my guest co-host, Justin. And we're out. See you next week.